welcome to the Equine Veterinary Education Podcast. I am Justine and I will be hosting today's podcast. And today I will be discussing with Dr. Marina Santos. Dr. Santos majored in veterinary medicine at the Federal University of Viçosa in Brazil in 2016. She completed 2 years of clinical and surgical residency for large animals at the same university. Last June, she finished a surgical internship at Caesars Entertainment Specialty Equine Hospital at the Purdue University. Currently, Dr. Santos is doing a surgical fellowship with an emphasis in orthopedics at the University of Pennsylvania. Hello, Marina. Is there something that you would like to add for our listeners to know a little bit about you?
Hello. I'd like to say thank you for having me today.
Okay, thank you. Then I will start introducing our topic from today, which comes from Marina's article. The title of the article is Surgical Treatment of Cervical C7-T1 Instability Caused by Discospondylitis in a Horse. Marina, could you please explain to our listeners what discospondylitis is and what it is caused by?
So the discospondylitis is an inflammatory process in the endoplates of the vertebrae and the intervertebral disc. This condition could be caused by bacterial or fungal infection. Hematogenous bacterial spread is considered the most common route of infection in horses. However, penetrant wounds, local infection, extension of the local infection, or iatrogenic wave spine surgery have been reported in horses as well. Some bacteria, such as Staphylococcus species or Streptococcus species, has been reported as a cause in horses. In addition, the trauma has been considered a potential cause in horses as well.
So regarding all these possible causes, how do you diagnose it?
So the diagnosis of this condition is based on the clinical signs. The most horses present to us with stiff neck pain and stiff gait and for a limb lameness, and some horses present as well with ataxia. The diagnosis measure is very is essential to do the right diagnosis. You can use the radiograph, ultrasound, CT or MRI. In our case, the CT was essential to do the right diagnosis because in my case, the condition affects the C7-T1. In horses in this region, there are heavy muscles and is in this region close the scapulohumeral joint, what makes hard you do the diagnosis with just the radiograph exam.
It seems, according to your article, that it rarely affects horses, but more often species such as dogs, for example. Do you know why?
So, yeah, there is a difference between these species because this difference is caused by the vascular anatomy of the region. For example, in dogs, then the plates of the vertebrae is highly vascularized, what predisposes the infection of this region when, for example, the dog has some active infection process. In horses, this region is not highly vascularized as in dogs.
Would you like to describe to our listeners the case history and the clinical findings from your case?
Yeah, a 3-year-old Cory horse, Geldy, present to us with 1 month of history of stiffness and reluctance to move. This horse before came to us, he was examined by other veterinarians, and the veterinarians did perform the radiograph exam of the cervical region, but the exam was inconclusive. When the horse got to us in our hospital, the horse was quiet and he had a poor body condition. and how the horse was unable to move his neck freely, and he had a stiff gait, and he had a limpness. You performed the ceroamyloid way A in this horse, but was normal, and the complete blood count in this horse, the white cells are normal. The horse didn't show up any signs of infection. Because of the clinical findings, you decide to perform the CT exam of the cervical region in another day.
And could you please tell us about the CT and CT myelogram findings that you had?
Yeah, the CT images showed to us the enlargement of some articular process at C4, C5, C6, and C6-C7. But the major finds was the collapse of the intervertebral disc space at C7-T1. And then the plates in this joint show us some areas of sclerosis and lysis. And these findings were consistent of disc spondylitis at C7-T1. In addition, the myelogram show us a mild to moderate compression at C7-T1.
How do you think that the infection by a bacteria can cause enlargement of articular processes? How do you understand that process?
So, in horses, the enlargement of the articular process is caused by osteochondrosis or osteoarthritis. The infection in the articular process is not common in horses, even humans is not common as well. But if you have an infection in this process, it could cause alteration in the bones and cause the enlargement. But in our case, I believe the enlargement of the articular process was a bone response to the vertebral instability at C7-T1 caused by the disc spondylitis.
Would you like to explain to our listeners the surgical procedure that you did on this horse?
Yeah, the disc spondylitis in this horse caused instability of C7-T1. And because of this, you decide to perform an interbody fusion of C7-T1. You decide to use as an implant the four-hole locking compression plate combined with two 5.5 millimeters Cortes screws in like fashion. For this horse, you put the two Cortes screws first from the cranial vertebra at C7 through the intervertebral space into the caudal vertebra T1. And after you place the locking compression plate and the ventral aspect of the C7-T1, and use two screws and C7, use a 5 millimeters locking head screw and C7, and use 4.5 millimeters Cortes screws. You have to change the screws because you have to change the angulation of the screw. You decide to use the Cortes screw, but for T1, you decide to use the two 5 millimeters locking head screws.
Could you explain what made you decide the treatment that you gave to the patient?
Yeah, as I mentioned to you before, because of the instability of the C7-T1, you decide to perform the fusion at C7-T1. Nowadays, you have different kinds of implants to do the cervical fusion in horses, but you decide to use the locum complexion plate because the implant has a good stiffness. In addition, the implant you have has an advantage is availability then compared to another systems. And the implant you have a good different size, what may facilitate your procedure because the surgical access to 71 is so hard because you have there you have presence of bones such as the first rib and sternum. You have important structures there what make hard you access, and you have to to do a deep dissection of the pectoral muscle as well to facilitate your procedure. In addition, you decide to use the transvertebral screws. This implant has not been reported in horses before, but in humans, there are good results to use the transvertebral screws to perform the vertebral thoracic fusion. And in our case, the horse has collapse of the intervertebral disc space, what allows us to use the transvertebral screws combined of the four-hole locking compression plate.
I can read from your article that incision was made in the longus coli muscle when you performed the surgery. When you do an incision in a muscle, are there any risks, and if there are, what are they, for the healing of the muscle fibers?
Muscle has very limited capacity of regeneration. The healing process of muscle it consists by the replacement of the damaged muscle by tissue scar. And sometimes the tissue scar could restrict the muscle function, but in your case, you did an incision. The incision is a damage for the muscle, but afterwards, you suture the muscle. When you suture the muscle, you promote a good healing. You minimize the deep scar.
You mentioned that the horse presented clinical signs of Horner syndrome a few days after the surgery. Could you please talk a little bit about this syndrome and what do you think this was due in this specific case of this patient?
This syndrome is associated with a lesion involved the sympathetic nervous system. In general, any trauma, focal infection, irritation could cause the syndrome in horses or another animal or even humans. In humans, lesion in the hypothalamus or brainstem could cause the syndrome as well, but in horse has not been reported. And in horses, this syndrome is characterized by different degrees of ptosis, prolapse of the third eyelid, meiosis, and ophthalmos, swelling, and increase the temperature of the face and neck. In our case, you believe the syndrome was caused by the compression of this vagosympathetic nerve trunk during the procedure because this structure is located close by the C7T1.
You mentioned that trauma can be a possible cause of this affection. Would you be able to say what kinds of trauma can cause this?
So a fall when the horse pulled back when tired, colliding with another horse or object could cause a trauma in the cervical region. And this trauma could cause a chronic inflammatory process in this region and consequently cause the discal spondylitis.
You wrote in your article that CT examination has been proven to be useful in distinguishing vertebral osteomyelitis and discal spondylitis. Could you please explain the difference between these two affections in horses?
The discal spondylitis inflammatory process involves the end plates and the intervertebral disc. And this condition most frequently affect adult horses and is characterized by degenerative changes in these regions. And the osteomyelitis affect the vertebral bodies is more common you see in young horses or foal with has some active sepsis process.
You also mentioned in your article that according to previous reports, adult horses have a poor response to medical treatment of discal spondylitis. Do you know why is that?
So, as I mentioned before in the last questions, this condition most frequently affect adult horses, and the adult horse tend to have degenerative process and the collapse of the intervertebral disc space. And sometimes the collapse causes the instability of the region. You have to do a surgical procedure to stabilize the segment and decrease the pain and to give good quality of life for these horses. Even in dogs, this condition is more caused by bacterial infection, but in chronic case, the dogs tend to have a lot of degenerative process in this joint. You have to do a decompression or stabilize some segments to decrease the pain and to give some quality of life for these animals.
So in the end, what would be your conclusion of the study?
So I believe the implants for whole locking compression plate combined the transvertebral screws was a good alternative to treat this horse. And after surgery, 4 days after surgery, the horse show us a good improvement. He was able to move better in his neck, and 4 months after the surgery, the horse came back to the horse for a new evaluation. The body condition was better. The horse was able to move his neck freely, and he was walking better. And you did that before my X-ray, and his neck. The X-ray show no signs of infection, no fracture, no migration of the implant. And the fusion was good as well. And I believe the implant was a good alternative for treating this horse.
What were your aims by performing this study? And how do you think that this study will help the field in the future on the clinical aspect?
So our first goal was to provide an effective treatment to the horse, but when I decide to do to describe this case, it's my first goal is to provide provide information about the diagnosis and treatment of the discoid spondylitis in horses, because today you have a little information about the treatment, even in the diagnosis of the discoid spondylitis in horses. And I believe this unique way to perform the fusion at C71, it's a good alternative to do a cervical fusion in horses, even to treat discoid spondylitis or even to treat another condition.
Okay, well, that will end our podcast for today. I would thank you, Marina, for answering all my questions. That was a very interesting discussion.
Thank you so much.
And I would like also to thank our listeners who are listening to the podcast and who maybe read the article. Thank you and have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much.